So, Evan, off the back of the FFA's announcement today, what do you think were the deciding factors that saw Western Melbourne and South West Sydney chosen over the other bids?
Well, I mean, most immediately what I was struck by at the FFA's announcement press conference was the FFA chair, Chris Nicu, talking about growth corridors. So, I mean, obviously you can see immediately the two bids selected are Sydney and Melbourne-based bids. Those are the two main commercial centres, the two main areas of population in the country. But specifically the Western Melbourne region and then the Southwest MacArthur region of Sydney are two, demographically, they're growing at a very pleasing rate from the FFA's perspective. I think as far as growth, as far as the future viability of those bids, that factor was probably the leading factor that that caused them to arrive at the decision.
Yeah, now you did mention large catchment areas and growing populations, and those were obviously key factors. But would you say, after the success in both Sydney and Melbourne of the two derbies, and the exciting prospect now that comes with more derby fixtures, do you see these new fixtures becoming an automatic success like their predecessors, or do you think it'll take time to grow organically?
I'm a little more sceptical about the argument that Chris Nicu made, that adding two derbies in Melbourne and Sydney will automatically be a good thing, will automatically be an exciting prospect for fans, just because the addition of Melbourne City and Western Sydney a few years ago was successful in that way. I think there are saturation points that can be reached when it comes to excitement you're able to generate around derbies. We already have three of them a season, and more if they pop up in the FFA Cup. And I also think that it's not necessarily a given that these new teams in Western Melbourne and Southwest Sydney will develop sort of derby-like rivalries with both the Sydney and Melbourne teams currently in existence. I mean, there's, I suppose, a natural rivalry, you could argue, between Southwest Sydney and the Wanderers, but I'm not too sure whether, just because they're both Sydney-based, there'll be all that heated a rivalry between Sydney FC and Southwest Sydney, for example. I know that the FFA are very keen on derbies, and viewer metrics sort of inflated generally by derbies. I mean, we also have to mention that Fox Sports and Foxtel, who of course are extremely significant entity regarding all things A-League, are as giddy as can be about the prospect of more derbies. So I would advise a sort of degree of scepticism when it comes to what the FFA and what Fox Sports sort of profess as being a reasonable projection of how successful these new, in inverted commas, derbies are going to be.
Now, looking at these fixtures, you've got Western Melbourne to join the league next season and Southwest Sydney the season after. How do you see the powers that be at the FFA organising an uneven fixture list like that over these next seasons?
Yeah, well, Greg O'Rourke, the boss of the A-League, touched on this in the press conference and talked about that, obviously. An uneven amount of teams is a problem when it comes to fixturing. For next season, so there'll be 11 teams, which will mean a bye every round. And O'Rourke, he wasn't exactly clear on the mechanism that will dictate which team gets whatever week off, and what factors are going to come into play deciding which teams get to play their non-bye week at what point in the season. He just sort of vaguely spoke of metrics. Metrics will help kind of decide how the scheduling is arranged. I mean, it makes me think that preferencing, there'll be preferential treatment given to derbies and other marquee matchups. Obviously, Foxtel already have a very heavy hand when it comes to the fixture scheduling of an A-League season, so I can't imagine that that will change when it comes to this new sort of conversation that has to happen. But he did also speak about this 11-team arrangement that will have to occur next season as being a transitional period. Ideally, they want 14 teams in the near future, although they gave no specifics about the avenue to getting to that point. But when Southwest come in two seasons' time, it'll be a lot clearer, a lot more simple, the scheduling, that is. But until that point, yeah, I can see it becoming, I don't know, a little dicey as far as the scheduling goes.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how that does play out. Bringing it back to the bids, both Southwest Sydney and Melbourne have stressed the need for community engagement, with Southwest Sydney coming out in their press conference and announcing they will hold community forums about key decisions regarding the club's name and colours. Why do you think initiatives like these are important in ensuring the new clubs succeed where, say, Gold Coast and North Queensland failed?
Yeah, I think it's a good point bringing up Gold Coast and North Queensland. And I was encouraged by Southwest press conference. I believe their head spoke about, if you get all the community aspects right, then the corporate aspects of the club will follow naturally. And I agree that that's the right order in which to do things. Certainly, I think branding the name of the club, their colours, is something, it's almost a no-brainer to consult the fans about. I mean, there's nothing worse than a club coming out with a jarring badge or logo or colours or kit that you can just tell will not go down well with the fans. You see it occasionally in world football. But I agree that it's important. I mean, I think this latest board upheaval has really, and I'm talking about the change of the board that happened a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, was very much about the management, football management, not listening to the grassroots. I think it's no different with football clubs. I mean, there is no point in conducting a football club if you don't link into the community, if you don't make sure you're reflecting what the community wants in what you do, because after all, your stands will be empty if you don't. And I think that was a huge downfall for Gold Coast in particular. So I do think that Southwest in particular are on the right track. I mean, they've spoken already about being a community club. They want to be the leading community club in the A-League. They talked about how their stadium is partly owned by the community. They're very intertwined with the local city council. I mean, it's all good signs from them as far as that goes.
Finally, going forward, the FFA has signalled their intent for a 14-team A-League. With all the work that's already been done, how important do you think it is for the FFA to continue to look at bids like Canberra or even Wollongong or Tasmania, who signalled their intent but didn't make the cut this time around?
I think it's very important. They mentioned Canberra specifically and mentioned that they were a bid that, although they weren't successful this time, they were going to be kept, you know, in close contact with future talks about expansion. I mean, they also pressed that expanding further to a 14-team league was on the front burner, I think is what Chris Nicu, the phrase he used. So hopefully that's not just a kind of phrase used to placate us. Hopefully it is very much still on the front burner, and we'll see tangible progress as far as that in the near future. I think football is in sort of between a rock and a hard place in many ways when it comes to expansion. Obviously, everyone recognises the need to address financial viability and viability of crowd sizes whenever you're addressing where best to put a new franchise. But at some point, the discussion will have to start weighting things more heavily, because if you only do it based on those metrics, you will only get viable bids coming out of Sydney, Melbourne, and maybe Brisbane. So I think Canberra, will be very disappointed not to have gone in this time. And I think there's also an argument for continuity between the A-League and W-League. I mean, we have a W-League team in Canberra. I think it's about time we had an A-League team in Canberra too. As for Wollongong, I agree. They are a small market team, but incredibly vibrant football community. And these types of communities, these types of small market teams, need to be remembered as being as viable, perhaps more so outside of all of those financial metrics, than the ones that have been, for example, chosen this round. I think the FFA, if they don't want to get too many people offside, I think they ought to remember that, really.
I think that's a really important point to leave it on. Well, Evan, thank you so much for joining us on what has been a big day for the A-League and for football in Australia.
Thank you so much for having me.